Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, beloved friends. Welcome to the Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith. And thank you for joining me this evening. Truly, I am delighted to be here with you today. And we are officially going to be playing Christmas songs of the season. Obviously, they're going to be centering on the birth of Jesus Christ for the remainder of the year. I'm so excited. I'm not going to wait until after Thanksgiving. I'm going to start now because I am just so elated every day of the year about my Savior's birth. But we're just going to start it a little earlier this year because I just believe it is certainly worth celebrating on this show now, musically. So just a few updates of how you can get in contact with me on Facebook.com, Dacia Smith, D-A-Y-C-I-A-A. On Twitter, it's Dr. Dacia Smith, Dr. spelled out D-O-C-T-O-R. Also on LinkedIn, Google Plus, Instagram, all of these different social media, so feel free to reach out to me via any of those technological methods. And also, you can email me, dcsm77@gmail.com, the show email, divineexperience77@gmail.com. I'll be happy to respond to you. Just a few updates about me here recently in the last week. So God is so good, incredibly awesome. We did get confirmation on the house that we'll be moving into at the end of this month, actually Thanksgiving weekend or that entire week. So praise the Lord. Sign the contract officially this weekend coming up when the owner gets back in town. The owner is actually in Washington right now, but we did confirm everything verbally, and so we'll finalize the paperwork when the owner returns next weekend. So just very excited about that, our new home, and before the new year comes in. And that's just, you know, that's just perfect, ideal, because the new year is a time for starting over, and we're really glad about that. Also, this weekend has been a very busy weekend for us. We, of course, attended church service. My son did some volunteer work at the library in Cordova, and also we were invited to, well, my kids at school, they invited me to India Fest gave me a ticket and also got one, a complimentary pass for my son. And let me tell you, it was just incredible. We spent about 12 minutes just circling, trying to find. It was at the Agri Center here in Memphis, which is a huge, I mean, it is an enormous place where we have gatherings and events, public gatherings and events. It has an auditorium in it, stadium seating and so forth, and just a big open space for different booths and trade shows and such. So this is just a humongous structure, and it's got three huge parking lots with it, and all of those parking lots were filled when we got there. Of course, it was later in the evening as Sabbath was going out, but, you know, it was, when we got in there, it was just set up with all sorts of variety of booths with their cultural exhibits, and then, of course, you know, food and games for the children. They had a whole youth station designated area, and we took some pictures. The Golden Chariot, they had several visual displays that were just, you know, truly amazing, you know, just so super, and they really did impress me with the way they set up the event. So that was a great deal of fun to walk through and experience that culture's particular, you know, unique aspects of that culture. And so and then today we went to the Rehabilitation Center for our praise and worship ministry there. It was one of the residents' birthdays. She's 70 years old, so praise God for her. We celebrated that today. And we also talked about testimonies of thankfulness and gratefulness. Actually, my older sister, she has this, you know, activity she's doing this month that involves each day or each night, you know, just specifically thanking God for one, you know, one particular thing in your life, you know, every night this month. And so I have taken that upon myself to do, you know, because I say prayers every day and thank God in general for things. But when we get down to those very specific things, you know, those very specific blessings, you know, sometimes we just need to do that. You know, we just need to get very basic and down to the fundamentals with God so that He, you know, knows that we know, you know, that even the seemingly, and there are no minor things or, you know, in our lives, but what may seemingly seem, you know, so, you know, maybe trivial or, you know, not as meaningful, you know, every single detail truly is, whatever He grants us. So definitely I would encourage each one of you to do the same. And also, I just want to mention the other praise reports. Again, you know, we're going into the last 2 months of the year, the Christmas season, and even though I hate winter, I love this season, my favorite season, praise the Lord, where, you know, the entire world, Christian world, is really centered on the birth of Jesus in a public display, so to speak, because we, you know, every year, of course, we honor and celebrate Him. But I just love this close of the year as we reflect upon all that He has done for us. And, you know, just, again, thanking God for all that He's done in my life and how He's just sustained me and kept me and sent, you know, people in the forms of just, you know, angelic, you know, insight and guardianship over me during the difficult times. Prayer requests, just continue to pray for my family, my mother. We actually were with her on October 31st, just playing some games with her, and they had a gathering in the dining room of her senior living facility. So I just pray for the Lord to continue to strengthen her legs and her walking. Also pray for my father as well and for my son as we close out the year, and that he continues on the path that he's set on in terms of his schoolwork and, you know, his other efforts. And same with my other family members, my sisters, my extended relatives, and so forth. Just, you know, that there would be joy in the spirits and hearts of people at the end of this calendar year. I'd also like to just mention people of influence very quickly, because I don't want to run out of time. Our people of influence, I want to first acknowledge any of the workers in any capacity in our senior living and rehabilitation centers in the greater Memphis area, because really and truly, in some cases, that's the only family that many of these people know. So to just, you know, be present in their lives and be available for them in the form of service, you know, is really a very noble and admirable deed that's being done. So I just want to thank those people, and I'm grateful for their presence, because even though my mother has family and relatives and people coming by to see her all the time, still that is her home now where she lives, and I do believe she's very well taken care of and cared for, and people are sincerely and genuinely wanting her best there. So that certainly does help. And I also want, because we're talking about relationships today, mention people of influence who have studied relationships and spoken about relationships from the heart as the Holy Spirit has imparted this wisdom to them. I've mentioned Michelle McKinney Hammond before, who is now married, praise the Lord, at 54 years old. She is married. And then, of course, there's Dr. Laura Schlesinger, and there are some others, too, that I've read information on, and they have really just, you know, given me so much more insight and just different points to consider in terms of interpersonal relationships. So I thank God for them allowing themselves to be used in my life and in the lives of other women to, you know, to bring about, you know, a greater discernment in that area. So I want to go over some scripture verses. Well, let's just quickly say a prayer. Father God in heaven, again, Lord, we come before you, Father God, and we thank you and praise you, Lord. We pray that your will be done, Father God, and we request, Father God, that you would keep us and sustain us and look out for us until such time as you shall return to take us with you, Father God. We're coming up on the last 2 months of the calendar year, Father God, and in this time, in this season, where we merrily, you know, go about proclaiming you, Father God, and your birth, the good news of your birth as Lord and Savior, Father God. We just ask that you would give us more and more opportunities to be able to share that with people who don't know you, Father God, who are missing out on this abundant joy, Father God, this new life that they could have with you, Father God, this rejuvenated life, Father God. And we just ask that you would just use each and every one of us, use me, Lord, in whatever way you see fit, Father God. And we just thank you and praise you, and we're so grateful for all that you've done. In your Son Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Our scripture verses for today, of course, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I love this, 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. And then 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Much about relationships in the book of Corinthians. Then the Lord God said, this is Genesis 2:18, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his or her own body. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, and this is an inspirational, uplifting verse on relationships. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him is alone when he falls and has not known to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Psalm 37:3-4, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Romans 12:9-10, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. And it goes forward, but I just wanted to highlight those particular scripture verses because they certainly pertain to what we're going to talk about today. And before I get into recognizing God's revelation in relationships, I wanted to point out seven signs that God lets you know you're in the wrong relationship. Now, number one, and I have learned from this myself, so I'm not saying anything in the, you know, in a way that's, you know, trying to be condescending or whatever. I truly have, again, grown and matured from, realizing these signs myself. But number one, it's all about the other person. If it seems to be all about the other person, again, these signs go for whether it's the male for the female or female for the male, either one. It's just general problem signs in relationships. But number one, it's all about the other person, and relationships are sacrificial. So if you're in a relationship where it's always the other person, me, what that person wants, then that's not of God, because the Lord shows us with Adam and Eve and with the subsequent relationships that are mentioned in the Bible that there's mutual sacrifice that is made on both sides. Number two, secrets are kept. Relationships are open and honest. Let people make informed decisions. And if someone is keeping secrets from you, you can't really make an informed decision because you don't have the full picture. You know, there are concealments, and those things obviously affect what direction you may take. So there has to be openness and honesty in a relationship. Not, so if you discover secrets, then that's really a sign that, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be that that's not the person for you, but it's just a time where you need to really step back and pray to the Lord about, you know, next steps. Three, sexual sins take place and persist without repentance. So, yes, just because, you know, you fall prey to a temptation in a relationship doesn't mean that that's not the person for you, but there should certainly be repentance, and there shouldn't be that continued indulgence in that sin. So, you know, there obviously need to be some adjustments or some changes made in that relationship to make sure that does not happen again, because it certainly displeases the Lord when we defile ourselves that way. And these, of course, would be the dating relationships. For spiritual advisors or mentors, and these could be parents, if they're spiritually minded, do not give their approval or blessing. And the Bible talks about taking heed to the advice of elders. I think it's in Timothy, where Paul is telling Timothy, or Titus, one of them, you know, that definitely we need to listen to those who are our elders and who have been through, you know, that. In my case, you know, one of my spiritual mothers tried to tell me that that was not that they really did not see that as being the man for me. But, you know, I went forward with it anyway. I just completely ignored that advice, which I regret now. But number five, you're highly stressed and distraught trying to keep things going or figure it out. And Jesus wants peace for us. He gave us his peace. to guard our hearts and minds. So when it's all about, oh, my gosh, you know, I've got to deal with this now. What's going to be next? What's going to be the issue? What's going to be the problem? That's not of God. Number six, the individual is not a born-again, Holy Spirit-filled, Lord-led person. And it tells us to not be unequally yoked in the Bible. So if that person does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, not living actively as a Holy Spirit-filled, born-again Christian, trying to refrain from the sins of the body, trying to be, you know, Christ-minded in what they do. Not that it'll be a perfect person, because none of us are perfect, but you can clearly see the efforts, the desire to do right. If you don't see that, then that's not it. And lastly, seven, too many unanswered questions, confusion, ambiguity. It's nebulous, you know, this kind of thing. Where is it going? Where is it headed? How do you feel? God's not the author of confusion. So, of course, you know, that would not be it. So these are just things to bear in mind. I have faced all of the scenarios myself, and it's tough. It's tough when you desire something and you want it to be a certain way and you think to yourself, if I could just, you know, if this or that would just change, you know, I would be okay. But we can't change a person. Only the Holy Spirit can. And that person has to want the Holy Spirit to change him or her. And we also need to be looking at ourselves. Maybe there are some things we need to change, especially in terms of how we see things or how we understand what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us. So there's much that goes into that. But I want to, in these last few minutes, when I talk about recognizing God's revelation relationships, we don't get a whole lot of extensive detail about this matter in the Bible. We do know, of course, with Isaac and Rebecca, how they found each other, you know, that they sent a servant out in prayer for a wife for him, and, you know, just completely led by God. But in many of the other cases, we really don't get into a lot of the details. So sometimes, you know, in that area is such a complex area because you're dealing with another person. We can't get inside another person's head and, you know, really always know what they're thinking and feeling. We just have to trust, you know, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to let us know, you know, if it's heading the right direction. So it's a very murky, you know, convoluted matter. But you know, what happens, I think, in a lot of cases with this, and I'm on a website called prayersfire.com, PRAYERS, fire, FIRE.com, the nine mistakes that almost all Christian singles make and what to do about it is named the article. And then they started off with the big lie. And the big lie is, and I, you know, I don't even tell people this anymore, because some people, you know, would tell me this, and it really actually wouldn't even help me feel better. It would just make me wonder, you know, well, when is my time coming? But this whole thing, like, as long as you honor God, he'll reward you with a spouse. You can claim your marriage partner and have a marriage made in heaven, da-da-da-da. You know, and the bottom line is, you know, it is true in the sense that, you know, you can still petition the Lord for these things, but when we center on that, then we lose sight of recognizing God's revelation, because we start to, number one, it says the first mistake, build up idols in the heart. So we're in a relationship, or, you know, a relationship has started and is developing, and, you know, we've asked God to make it work, or, you know, hopefully I pray God this is it, because either you're tired of being single or whatever the case may be. And not really, you know, the prayer should be, Lord, if this is it, advance it. If it's not, take it away. And that's hard when our hearts are in a certain place. It's very hard. And the heart can be very deceptive. But we cannot put up an idol of the relationship above what God's will is, because we'll be misled sometimes into doing things thinking God told us. It was really our own voices. We were already convicted in our hearts to go a certain way. And then, you know, we have to really, we don't cultivate our own talents and gifts enough because we're so, you know, maybe preoccupied or fixated on trying to get a relationship to work, and God wants to bless us in other ways. Or we talked about the fornication and such. And then, you know, those bonds that are formed when you fornicate, they're hard to break. So, you know, you have to go through there has to be a deliberate, purposeful cleansing and separation from all of that. Getting into ungodly associations with people, whether they, you know, drink, smoke, curse, whatever it is they're doing, staying away from that, because that will really, you know, get you all clouded in terms of, you know, really being pious and consecrating yourself, consecrating ourselves. And then it talks about the unbroken covenants again, making sure if you are someone who has had previous sexual relationships that you really go through a cleansing and a purification with the Lord to get that out of your system, move beyond that. Unholy dressing, how we clothe ourselves, especially ladies and or men, you know, we want to make sure that that is in line with, you know, how God will want us to be, you know, have ourselves properly covered and not exposing unnecessarily. And then, you know, with matchmaking and things like that, or seeking out mediums and all these kinds of things to try to see who am I going to marry, God does not want that. He wants it left to him. And then leaving, you know, unbroken curses, you know, whether they be from broken marriages and all of this kind of thing. You have to just begin to earnestly pray. And it goes through, I would encourage you to go on the website, it goes through the steps, the summary of steps involved in, you know, in petitioning the Lord, praying and petitioning the Lord for your spouse and a deep prayer focus. So I'm going to read more extensively on it later. But I do want to say that in closing, and I only have a couple of minutes, in order to recognize God's revelation relationship, we have to be prayerful. Prayerful even before the relationship comes. Be prayerful that when it comes, that we will not be blindsided, that we will not be misled or deterred by emotions or physical feelings, but that, you know, the insight and wisdom of the Holy Spirit would prevail in us knowing what we need to do and how we need to approach it. And this can happen so easily, so subtly. So we have to constantly be in prayer about it. And we petition the Lord for the godly spouse, then we have to know that he knows how and when to provide it. We don't ask for a time frame. We don't ask for the person to come in a particular physical stature or way that's, you know, be